Well, it is good to be here. I'm sorry under the circumstances. When my sister Linda had called me several weeks ago and said that wanted to know if Patty and I wanted to come down to attend the Gaither concert, and I said, yeah, that's fine. Right after that, I texted Ken. I said, hey, Ken, I'll be there if you'd like me to preach. You know, I volunteer preach anywhere. And Ken said, well, that'd be nice. And then little did he know that he would be under the weather today. So I was telling Jim downstairs, nothing surprises God. So he works it all out. And so I'm honored to be here. Just a couple of quick things about, like I said, when I stepped down from my church, I started attending another church, and for the past 2 years, I've been the director of children's ministries there, and I just stepped down from that position. That's kindergarten to fifth grade. They wore me out, so I had to step down. But the Lord blessed the ministry. This was both Sunday morning and Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, I had 32 young people, kindergarten to fifth grade, coming out for our Awana program, and five of those young people made decisions for Jesus Christ over the two-year period, and that had nothing to do with me. That was just the Lord using it, and a lot of those kids didn't attend our church. Their parents were looking for something for their children on Wednesday during the week and Wednesday night, and praise God, these were parents who realized that learning about God was more important than soccer and all that other stuff that goes on. So we had the opportunity to minister to those 32 children for a couple of years, and you know, the Lord blessed. And I'll just want to share one quick thing. One of the things that I taught that we emphasized with the kids, and I think made a big impact on them, was prayer. And we would open every meeting with prayer, and I would ask the kids. I had them all gathered in one room to warm me out. I would ask those kids, do you have anything you want me to pray for? Because I told them prayer works. God answers prayer. And I wanted to drill that into them. And I want to tell you some of the things I prayed for. I prayed for a turtle's birthday. One little boy said, I want my turtle to have a good birthday. So I said, we pray for a birthday. I prayed for the new cat and the old cat to start getting along. So I prayed for the cats. Okay. But more serious, there was a little five-year-old boy who raised his hand. He said, Pastor, please pray for my mom. She's been gone 3 days, and we don't know where she is. And I tell you that because I thank God that these children believed enough in prayer that no matter what was on their hearts, they wanted to bring it before the Lord. And that made a difference in their lives. We had one little girl, I think she was 6 years old, and she said, Pastor, can you just pray that God would make everybody behave? And then she looked at me and said, and why doesn't he do that? Try to explain that to a six-year-old. Because they certainly believe God had the power, but why didn't he do it? So we had the opportunity not just to tell these kids Bible stories, but to teach them a little bit about their relationship with God. And like I say, it was a blessing. So I stepped down from that, and I thought, okay, good. I'm, as you said, you never retire. I said, I'm done. You know, I'll help a little bit here and there, but I'm not going to have a regular every week ministry. God had other plans. We have several churches up in Southern Maryland that have all lost their pastors, most of them for health reasons. So they've been calling, trying to get pulpit supply. So one church called me and asked me if I could. They said they had 3 dates. They had nobody 3 weeks in a row. I said, okay, I'll take them. So I preached 3 weeks in a row. On the third Sunday, one of the deacons said, would you be interested in being our interim pastor? And I said, well, I need to pray about it, and I need to talk to my wife about it. So we talked. I prayed. Lord said, tell him you're interested. So I called the deacon back. I said, okay, I'm interested, but I do have some questions. So I guess the next step would be for me to meet with the deacon board or the search committee or whatever. He said, yeah. He said, I'll let them know. his wife called me two nights later and said the board voted unanimously to offer it to you. Okay, I still have some questions, but they answered them all, and the Lord said, do it. So starting November the 9th, I will be the interim pastor at Nanjamoy Baptist Church. Now, Nanjamoy, I wouldn't even try to explain to you how to get there. It's way down southern Maryland, but a good friend of mine described it this way. It is not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. So it is a little country church way out in the country. The one lady did tell me, she said, I think everybody in here is related some way or the other. I said, okay, good. So I won't talk about anybody. So anyway, if you have your Bibles, open your Bible to the book of Micah. I want to talk a little bit today about what does the Lord require? And if you have trouble finding Micah, it's right between Jonah and Nahum. That always helps, you know. So let me give you a little background on the story of Micah. Micah was not a prophet who had been trained in the school of prophets in the Old Testament. He was a man who was called from his normal life to deliver a message. And most of the minor, what we call the minor prophets in the Old Testament, that's what they were. When you talk about Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, they were prophets who actually went to the school of prophets. And that was a school that Elijah actually started. Elijah trained other prophets and started a school. Elisha took it over when Elijah passed away. So the major prophets went to school to learn to be a prophet. I'm not sure how you go to school to learn to be a prophet, but you know, if God gives you a message, you're a prophet. But these minor prophets were just men that God called out of the ordinary life and said, I want you to tell this message to somebody. And he would not only direct the message, he would direct who they were to tell it to. And Micah was told to prophesy to the people in Jerusalem, just the city of Jerusalem. But I believe there is something for us today. So that's sort of the background. The book of Micah can be divided into three sections. Chapters 1 and 2, Micah gives them God's message about the sin. God already knew about the sin, so he's saying it exposes that sin. He's telling them, this is what you've been doing. In chapters 3 and 4, he says, now here's the punishment. One of the things I've taught, anytime I've ever taught, whether it's pastor, Sunday school teacher, children's director, God doesn't take sin lightly. God doesn't take that lightly. He makes that very clear when he says the soul that sinneth will die. So he doesn't take sin lightly. So it's, and especially God's chosen people, I'll talk more about that in a minute, but God would use not only a prophet to deliver a message, but in many cases, over the course of the history of Israel, he would use other nations to chastise them. That's why they were under subjection to so many other nations. God said, you have to learn, if you do the wrong things, there's a price to pay. There are consequences for all of our actions. So this is what God deals out in chapters 3 and 4. And in chapters 5 to 7, which is part of the blessed story, he offers hope. He said, if you turn from those sins, if you admit it and turn away from it, there can be restoration and discipline. So we're going to center down in just a minute on verse 8, but before we get there, there's some things that we can see in this lesson. First, God reminds us of them, of what he has done. And of course, now comes my concession to the age. In verses 3 and 4 of Micah chapter 6, God says, O my people, what have I done to you? Have I not wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And then he goes on, he even says, O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. And he goes on for a little bit, and he says, this is what I've done for you. You know, and I wonder, how often do we stop and try to and remember what God has done for us? what I've seen, and this is dealing with kindergarten up through my, I had a lady in my church that was regular in her worship up to about 96 years old. So from kindergarten to 96, one of the things I've learned, we are very quick to tell God all of our problems and all of our needs. We're fast with that. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to get ready for it. We don't have to prepare for it. You ask somebody what's going on, oh, I got this problem. And, you know, and this is believers. And that's the thing that why I want to mention, again, this message from Micah was for the city of Jerusalem. These were the people who God had chosen. What was the city of Jerusalem? The city of Jerusalem is where God said, I will dwell with you. That was his, that represented his presence on the earth. These are the people that above all should have had a great understanding and a great relationship with God. And he said, I did all these things for you, yet you've turned away from me. You're worshiping idols. We don't always stop and remember what God has done for us. Now, a lot of times when you talk to believers, and I know this never happens here at Victory, so you know, I'll make that clear. A lot of times we talk to believers, they talk about what's coming in the future. I know I'm going to heaven. I know then all the sickness and pain and the sorrow and all the bad things that are in my life, I know that'll all be gone because I'll be at home in heaven with Jesus. Praise God, that's good. And that's good to remember that. That's the motivation that gets us through every day. But has God blessed you today? Did God bless you yesterday? And we don't talk about that very often. When I was pastor of my church, I had a lady, Sister Peggy Walton. We used to do our prayer time on Wednesday nights. She would take a piece of paper and she would always divide it down the middle. And she would write prayer requests on one side and praise on the other. And she'd start making a list. And she told me her desire, her goal, was that the left side was usually request, the right side was praise, that she wanted the right side to be as long or longer than the left side. Shouldn't that be our goal? We should spend more time praising God and thanking God for all the good things in our lives than saying, oh Lord, I need help. There's nothing wrong with saying you need help. Jesus, God said, come boldly before the throne of grace. So he wants us there, but we ought to give him equal time, I think. We ought to give him equal time, and we ought to praise God. You know, Ken and I have been texting over the past few days, because I think as this day grew closer, he knew he was... may not make it today. And because he texted me a few days, he says, you're still coming, aren't you? I texted back. I said, yes, brother, I'll be there. He said, good. And that was the gist of that text. But, you know, this is God provided. Now, believe me, Ken would prefer he be here and not be sick. I would prefer he be here and not be sick. Not that I don't enjoy preaching. I love preaching. But as you prayed over your pastor, this is the man of God that has been chosen to lead this congregation. I'd rather see him here than homesick. But God just worked everything out. You know, the Gaither concert could have been a different weekend and I wouldn't have been here at all. You know, then Jimmy would have preached. Right? I mean, God always provides. And we ought to spend time praising God for what he's done. I want to read in Psalm 2. Put these back on to find it. Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8. And this is David writing. And he said, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Sometimes David says, Lord, you've got all the good stuff. We ought to be looking for it like we search for silver. We ought to look for it like we search for hidden treasures. Because when we find that understanding, we're going to be blessed because we're being drawn closer to God. So we're good at telling God all of our problems. Israel did this many times throughout their history. Israel, I taught the book of Judges one time. And the best way I described it is it's a yo-yo. Because time after time, the nation Israel would fall into sin. God would use some other nation to chastise them. They would realize then that they were in trouble. They'd pray. God would raise up a judge. He would lead them in to conquer the ones that were over them. And they would say, praise the Lord. And then right back down into the sin, pray for God, another judge. Back into the sin, pray to God, another judge. I think it's 11 times. That's a yo-yo. They've done it, but don't we? There were likely many in Jerusalem during that time who had experienced some of that as Micah was delivering this message. So, do we spend time to remember what God has done in our lives? There are troubles. We all have them. We all have them. The physical body is subject to this world's, to the sin of this world, and it's going to ache and hurt. And I got two brand new knees. They're made of titanium steel. If I kick somebody, but they don't bend as far as they used to, so it's, you've got limits there. But, anytime I think of my troubles, I remember my dad. My dad, last several years of his life, couldn't walk. Anytime he went anywhere, we put him in a wheelchair, but he still wanted to come to church. And usually, maybe Tim and I or some of the other men of the church, we would put him in the wheelchair and carry him up the stairs in the wheelchair. So just so he could be in church, because he wanted to worship. And many times, we'd take him home and he would say, he would thank me for making sure he got to church, but he said, there's a lot of people worse off than I am. And like I say, he couldn't walk. He had a lot of pain in his body, but he never complained about it. He never complained. He was always more concerned for others. Now notice verses 6 and 7 in Micah chapter 6. He goes on and says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, cut down her trees." I'm on the wrong page there. I lost my... That's what happens when you get retired, you lose things. Verses 6 and 7 in Micah says, What shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with a thousands of rams and ten thousands of rivers and oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? This is what many times people believe. I'm talking now. Remember, this was written to the people of Jerusalem. I think as we apply it today, we have to apply it to the church. There are a lot of people that says, "Well, I gave my offering. I was there. I checked off on. I'm checked off on the attendance roll. I'm good with God." That's what the Jews believe. This is why they could fall into their sin. It's why they could worship other gods. That's why they could neglect God altogether. They said, "We've brought the rams and the goats and the sheep and the doves and the pigeons. We've done everything that God has. We've done the waving of the sheaf. We've done everything God has called us to do. We're good. We're good that way. Why? Because we're the children of Abraham. And this is what he told us to do in the Old Testament. He told us to do these things. We've done them. We're good with God." And you know what God said? "What do I care about a calf? I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. God's not concerned with what we can give the Lord unless we're giving him our heart. He wants us. He does. There's an old story I've used it many times, and I may have used it here before, and if I did, I apologize, of a little boy who attended a revival meeting and heard the pastor preaching, or the evangelist preaching, and he just felt the Lord calling him to be a child of God. And they took up the offering, old-fashioned. They brought past the plate. And he was in the back of the tent, and when the ushers came up, he didn't have any money, and he asked the usher, he says, "Can you put the plate on the floor, on the ground?" The usher thought, "Well, this is strange," but the boy was sincere. He put the plate on the ground. The little boy stepped into the plate, He said, I want to give myself to God. Isn't that what God's after? All the money that was collected during that in that offering plate that night could never be worth more to God than that little boy. That's what God wants us. He doesn't need our offerings, doesn't need our possessions, he doesn't need all those things. He wants us. Proverbs 21:3. And I'll keep my finger in this page this time. Proverbs 21:3 says, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Isn't that what we see in our world today? Everybody thinks their way is right. People have the idea that we have brought God what he requires, so we're done, we've done our part. So I'm good. And you know, God's okay with that. You know, I've done my part. God's okay with that. When they came to me 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, and said, would you be willing to be the director of the children's ministries? I said, I'm 69 years old. I didn't think at this age I'd start chasing kids again. I've chased a lot of them over the years, but they were usually family. But the Lord said, do it. And I'll tell you something, that it had a ripple effect. This past July, we had our annual vacation Bible school. The majority of the volunteers in our vacation Bible school were senior citizens. They started coming to me and saying, we want to help. We want to help, you know, and we got to have somebody to do the classes, and we had snack time, and we had game time, and we had missionary time, and we had craft time, and these people were coming and said, we want to help. Just tell us what you want us to do, we'll do it. And the pastor said to me and said, you know, we've never had this many seniors volunteer to work at Vacation Bible School. You never know how God can use you. Brother Jim, you know, a pastor never retires. A pastor never retires. We need to give God ourselves. We need to, but today, and then I'll move into that last verse. Today, people want to look for answers in other places. God said, come to him. Not other people. We don't need a guide. We don't need, And this is the sort of thing that they say is the problem with men. Some of you ladies will say there's multiple, but that's okay. Men want to fix it. That's our first reaction. Let's just fix it. And a lot of people today are in that attitude. Let's just fix it. How are we going to fix it? Well, we'll have some new policies. We'll have some new programs. We'll create some more organizations. You know, it's always good if you have a problem, form a committee. 43 years with Verizon. I can't tell you how many meetings I sat in every time something came up. And I had a boss one time whose expression was, when you come to a committee, when all is said and done, a whole lot more got said than ever done. So towards the end of my career, when I had been there so long that nobody questioned what I was doing, I said, from now on, we're going to have only 3 people on the committee. Me, myself, and I. Got a whole lot more done. Because we were able, that 3 was usually able to agree on what we were going to do. So it works. But we've turned to other places. We're expecting our government. Our government just shut itself down. Aren't you glad God never shuts down? We're looking for all these other places. That's what Israel was doing. Israel was looking to other nations for help, and that nation would just take them over. Make them slaves, make them subject to their things. So let's just get to the crux of it in verse 8. What does God require? In verse 8, Micah chapter 6, he says, the voice of the Lord cries. That's wrong. How did I get in the wrong one? Yeah, verse 8. Am I reading wrong? You have to pardon an old man, I'll tell you. Anyway. Oh, that, I couldn't see the eight. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Before I read the rest of it, isn't it nice that God just simplifies things for us? We live in a world where a lot of people ask that question, what's required? You know, if you get a job, what's one of the questions we have? What's required of me in this job? If we start thinking about relationships, whether it's dating, looking for a spouse, run children, we start to think, what's required of me to do this? God just made it simple. Let me tell you what's required of you. And this applies, I think, to everything you do. But I want you to understand especially, he is saying this is written to the believers. This is written to his chosen. And he says, this is what's required of you. To do justice, to love with kindness or love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Three things. Three things God wants to do. And I'll just go through these quickly and we'll close. He says to do justly. What does that mean? It means to just do what's right. Not talking, and it applies to everything, but especially it applies to here in the church. Just do what's right. Your Victory Christian Fellowship, so I can talk about this here and not get in trouble. I don't like denominations. Because do you know what denominations are? Denominations are the result of one group of people and another group of people that couldn't get along and agree on how to worship, so they went and started their own group. I've known churches that have split and a new church be formed because they could not agree on what color the carpet should be. Now, I'm telling you, that's not making that up. I talked to the church, to the pastor of the church. Half the people left because they wanted a different color carpet. If we are the church, there is only one church. It's the church of those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and made Him their Lord and King. And you can put any name on the outside of the building you want. If Christ isn't first, it's not a church in my estimation. So we divide ourselves, and then we wonder why the outside world, who doesn't come to church all the time, or hardly ever, we wonder why are there so many different churches? And if I go talk to people, they all do things differently. They don't agree on things. So which one should I go to? You see how confusing we're making it for the lost? We'll never get the chance to tell them about the message of the gospel because we may have to end up answering a bunch of questions on why we're not doing the same thing as some other church. Now, when do you take communion? There's churches that take it every Sunday. There's some that take it once a month. There's some that take it only once a year. I attended a church one time, we took it twice a year on International Communion Sunday and the day of Pentecost. That was it. Now, why? It didn't make any difference to me. That's not that important. The Bible says, do it as often as you will to remember me. That's the requirement. But there's churches that, you don't take communion every Sunday? Oh, you're in trouble. That's what the issue should be between us and another group of believers? We need to do what's right. We need to be fair to each other. We need to treat each other like we care about each other. We need to hold each other up. You know, how many times do we... I know it doesn't happen here. But how many times does somebody come through the door and we say, what do they want? Or they got a lot of nerve coming in here today. Wait a minute. I witnessed to a young lady one time. We did a little outreach ministry. We set up, there's a bus stop in front of my church, or the church I pastored. And we went out and had hot dogs and cold water. And for anybody who got on or off the bus, we offered them a hot dog and a bottle of water. And this one young lady, I went up to her and said, you know, she said, oh, thank you. And she said, what's this for? And I said, I'm the pastor of the church here. We're just trying to be neighborly and just invite you to church. And she looked at me and she said, you want me in your church? Now, she was covered in tattoos from head to toe. She was wearing, it was summertime. She was wearing shorts and a top, and you, so you could see the legs, arms, shoulders, tattoos. Not, if you have tattoos, that's your business. But, you know, she was covered. She said, you want me in your church? I said, young lady, if you want to come and worship the Lord, you are always welcome. Think God cares about a tattoo? But we see somebody and we form an opinion right away and we say, well, that's not the way God designed it. So we're to do justly. We should not be judging others. We should treat each other as a brother or sister in the Lord. Now, with my family, brothers and sisters fight half the time. You know, so maybe you know do better than we do. But they're a brother and sister in the Lord. So we need to do justly. Second, we need to love mercy. Yes, people get on our nerves. There's people that make it very hard to love them. Let's just be honest. Because we're not perfect. We live in a sinful world. But I ask you to think of one question. Do you deserve God's love? If God can love us as bad as we are, how difficult it is to love someone else? That means it's what they do, what they don't do. If they're sincere, we ought to love them. We ought to show them mercy. We ought to forgive. You know, there's people that they don't forget something that happened 50 years ago. You've heard some, right, Dave? Yeah. Forgive. That's what God told us to do, because He forgave us. Now He puts a pretty stern warning on that one. He says, if you fail to forgive your brother who you can see, then Jesus said, I won't forgive you before the Father. Think about that. We're not willing to forgive others. God said, I won't forgive you. So we ought to love mercy. And again, not doing it grudgingly. Not saying, okay, I forgive you, but don't ever do it again. We ought to love mercy. We ought to say, I love you, I forgive you, it's gone. What does the Bible say about our sins? God says they're removed from us as far as the east is from the west, and they'll be remembered no more. That's how we're to love mercy with others. And then thirdly, walk humbly with God. Not another God, not walk humbly with a God, walk humbly with God. Now, this one I think is easy. Anytime I think about my walk with God, this is what I remember. He's God, I'm not. He's perfect, I'm not. He doesn't make mistakes, I do. So when I'm with Him, I have nothing to brag about. Now, I brag to my grandkids. My grandkids, my youngest ones, even my kids when they were little, but my grandkids, I have a 4-year-old that follows me around everywhere. He thinks that I won the Revolutionary War single-handedly. He believes anything I tell him, you know, so I have some fun. I can't wait till he starts school. What do you remember about the Revolutionary War? My pop-pop won it. Okay. I'll correct him before he gets there. But not with God. I don't have anything to brag about to God. I don't care what I have done or tried to do or accomplished or tried to accomplish. It is nothing compared to someone who could speak the word and the universe appeared. If we remember that, it's easy to be humble. Now think about those three things. What does God want us to do? To do justice, to show mercy, and to walk humbly with Him. Now, if we do that as the church, what do you think is going to happen? Those people out there who don't know what we're doing are going to say there's something happening there. Those people are getting along, and they're growing, and they're serving, and they're doing, and things are happening. Maybe I want to find out what it is. And I'm telling you, it'll happen that way. But also, when you take it outside of the church, when we start showing justice, being fair, and mercy, and honoring God to the world outside, then they start to look at us and say, boy, there's something special about those people. And a lot of it depends on what you're going to, I'll give you just one example and I'm going to close. What's going to happen today when we leave here? Many are going to go to lunch. Some are going to a softball game. What happens if we go to lunch or go to that softball game or wherever we go? Did you go to church Sunday? Did you go to church today? I just left church. Man, he talked too long. Man, you know, and that person sitting next to me, they just kept elbowing me and nudging me. I couldn't. Wasn't my best Sunday. What do they think of church now? What about if we get there and somebody says, you go to church today? I sure did. And God blessed. And we were drawn closer to the Lord because we praised His name and we worshiped Him. What impact is that going to have on those people? See, God makes it simple. He doesn't make it complicated. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. What a difference that'll make. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this time that we have to study from Your Word. And Your Word is pure. Your Word is perfect. And Lord, I ask that You overcome my stumbling and let the message of Micah sink into each one that's here, that we do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with You. Lord, You are so good to us. You are better than we deserve, much better than we deserve, but You still love us, and that's what makes the difference. Let us love one another and love others. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity I've had to fellowship here with these believers. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I may not get to see them often, but they're on my heart. And I do pray for Brother Kent. I pray, Lord, that You would lift him up, that the power of the Almighty would come upon him. And as Jim said, Lord, whether You do it through Your own miraculous touch or through the skill of others, that's in Your hands, not ours. We just call for it and praise You, because we know You are a prayer-answering God. Amen. Lord, now I thank You. Be with us as we leave this place. We ask it in Your name. Amen.